So when I was 17, I left for 6 months. I don't know if you know this, those of you who grew up here, and I went to school in Lethbridge, Alberta, first semester of grade 12, and needed a change of scenery, and while I was there, I started serving at a local church, but that wasn't the only thing that changed about me. What most people, I think, in this town remember me for, if you grew up here or have been here for a while, was I went through this season where I didn't look as beautiful as I do now. At least not everyone thought I looked as beautiful. Some thought I looked more beautiful because I had a thick amount of makeup on that I wore with long black hair, a little bit of red in it. And while I was in Lethbridge, I started to really enjoy heavy metal music. All right, and so I honestly, and those of you who aren't from Rosenor, I genuinely had thick black makeup on, I had long black hair, I screamed in a heavy metal band, and that like desire is still there. Like every time I go to church and every time I hear music, I'm always disappointed. Sorry, Cody and worship team, but I just like, it always builds. And I'm thinking like, here, finally someone's gonna scream, it's gonna get heavy. And then we just drop right back down again. And I'm always like, come on, give me something more. But so now you know, for next time, if I get invited back,
you're on for next time.
We can do it together. And so I've embraced this music scene, but what people didn't know was that also for this short period of time, I had stopped drinking. I had stopped smoking, I had stopped doing a bunch of stuff. And I came back as someone who looked very different than the person who left. Right, who came from the poor family in town, and now, by the appearance that I had, I was now the poor kid, but also the troubled kid. And I really was trying to get my life on track. I started a band, and I was just listening to the lyrics the other day, and I could hear my teenage self screaming at me, which is very fun. Most of you don't get that opportunity to have your teenage self literally screaming at you, but I get that. It's a little treat. And that was a kid who was screaming about God. About seeking to find God. And yet, what came back to me over and over again were these different rumors about what I was doing. Rumors about my sexuality because of makeup and the way my hair looked. Rumors about my life being fully for Satan because of the music that I enjoyed and my appearance. Rumors about what I was doing in terms of partying or interacting with other women, or ladies or girls, because it was pretty young. And eventually, I decided if no one is going to actually get to know me, and I'm going to be judged for all of these terrible things, then I might as well pursue them. And now, how many of you here, and don't raise your hand and don't point at the person who did it, but how many of you have ever had someone say something about you that's not true? Anyone? Have you ever found something out about yourself that you didn't even know about yourself from someone else? That's a really amazing thing to experience when you start learning things about yourself that you didn't even know. You've been in places you've only thought about going to. Now here's a harder question to answer. How many of you have ever participated in sharing something about someone that isn't true? How many of you have said something like, hey, I heard this, don't tell anyone else? And we were already told not to tell anyone else, and then we tell someone else to not tell anyone else, and they tell someone else to not tell anyone else. And my guess is, because I've learned over my short life, that my experiences are pretty much the same as everyone else's, that each of you, just like me, have participated in sharing things about people that aren't true. And so if you remember anything today, just remember this simple idea. Don't talk about somebody until you've talked to that somebody. You see, it's incredibly damaging to hear things about ourselves that aren't true, or that are true, but that we didn't actually want anyone to know, and find out that everyone knows them. And so this morning, we're going to be in James chapter 3. So if you have a way of getting there, you can do that. I know it's going to be on the screens as well. And so James chapter 3, verse 1 is where we'll start. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. So, yes, as soon as I read that and I felt led to this passage this morning, I thought, well, Lord, we can do a different one. Because I have to actually, like, assess myself here first. I'm the person who's teaching this morning. And lucky you, I'm going to be judged more harshly than you. So you win. Your morning's easy. Mine's tough. I got to go home and make sure that I spoke appropriately and taught correctly. But why is it important? Why is James saying this? Because people who are going to share and encourage other people to do something ought to be very concerned with whether or not what they're saying is in fact true and going to honor God. And then we get into verse 2, and this is where we all get to be a part of this passage in James. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect person, able also to bridle his whole body. Verse 3, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. And so here, the good news is a we all, right? So my goal is never to convict. If you are convicted, I hope it's not me and it's the Spirit. My goal is never to condemn or have you leaving feeling terrible after church. And so the good news is we all stumble. We've all had rumors told about us, and we've all shared rumors to other people. And this, for me, has become more important in moving back to Rosenort 3 years ago, and more recently I've been able to have some really incredible conversations with a few Haldeman people in Rosenort. And so 2 Sundays ago, Hannah and I went to one of the Haldeman churches and just joined in their service. And I know some of you have heard me speak before, and you know a huge passion of mine is the unity of the body of Christ. And the thing, though, that really led me to being passionate about this was that I'm 35 years old, and I've heard so much about what the Haldemans believe, and I've never heard it ever from a Haldeman. Isn't that interesting? How much of what you know about the Haldeman Church comes from a Haldeman pastor? How often have you just believed whatever you've heard from someone who's not a Haldeman about what Haldemans believe and why they do what they do on a Sunday? And how many of us have then just shared that on as though it is true? This happens all the time with all sorts of stuff in our own lives. Because we trust one another, when we hear something, we think it's probably true. And yet, It is always important, before we say anything, to go to the source of that thing and make sure that what we're saying is true. So we all stumble in many ways. And here what James is trying to let us know is that there are a lot of ways for us to stumble when it comes to our mouth. Gossip, lying, slander, false witness, cursing. It is so easy and so common. I actually think that's probably why, even though we know these things aren't ideal, you know, they're sin, but I'm going to use ideal to soften it here. Even though they're not ideal, they're so common and they're so normal that we don't see them for the big thing that they are. But James, here then goes on to say that if you are a person who can sort of get your tongue under control, you are like a perfect person. It is so hard to control what we say that if we can do that, that really is something that tells us also that we probably can control and have self-control over the rest of our life. And in fact, we are able to bridle our whole body that way. And so what often happens, and the reason why James here likely uses the idea of bridling the whole body, is that the tongue, what we say and how we say it, actually affects our whole life and the lives of people around us. Right? And so scripture also talks about within the power of the tongue is life and death. Jesus in Matthew talks about how we will be judged according to what we say. And Jesus also says that from our hearts, our mouth speaks. And so our mouth actually is communicating what our heart, the state of our heart, on a regular basis. Our mouth communicates to the world what our greatest loves and affections are. And so, just a question to ask yourself is, over the last year, if I just went based on what came out of my mouth, what would people think is the thing that I love the most, that I value the most? Our words have incredible power, and they also reveal where we're at as a person. If we put, verse 3, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole body as well. And then he goes on to this next thing, and these are small things that have great power. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is small, yet it boasts of great things. Then moving on, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And we know that these massive, massive forest fires can be sparked by such small things. And here I was going to give a great example about fire. But there's too many people in the room who know more about fires than me. So I'm going to move on to verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. James goes pretty hard here, right? He doesn't really hold any punches in terms of the power that our tongue has to cause both life and destruction. See, working with safe families, we experience the power of the tongue regularly. There are numbers of families that we interact with who have bad relationships with their neighbors, and their neighbors have called Child and Family Services, and full-blown investigations have opened up on families that don't need them. And one little phone call brings about sometimes the beginning phases of destruction for a family. We work with many families who for years have been told they are nothing, they are worthless, they are terrible parents, they deserve what happened to them. We hear incredibly heavy, heavy stories from families who have been affected by the smallest words. How many of us have experienced the deadly poison? How many churches have fallen apart, small groups fallen apart, all because of words? Words spoken to someone and words spoken about someone. The tongue is restless. Our hearts are restless. And here I think James is very careful, though, to say, but no human can tame the tongue. And it's very reminiscent of Jesus when he says that it is impossible for a rich person to get into heaven, right? And then the caveat is, but with God all things are possible. And here, I see it as an encouragement anyway. For it to say, no human being can tame the tongue. But actually we know that in everything, with God all things are possible. That through the power of the Spirit in us, we actually can see our tongues tamed. We actually can have self-control over the things we say. We actually can choose to be intentional about saying, I will never talk about anyone until I have talked to the person themselves. Today, we can make that choice as a community of Christians to say, there will never be something that I tell someone else that the person that I am talking about hasn't confirmed to be true and is okay with me sharing. With God and in community, we actually can do that. See, but it's going to be very hard. Because so much of my value sometimes comes from people knowing how much I might know about stuff. And so much of my value comes from me being able to communicate things that make me appear better than the person I might be talking about. And so actually, once again, the spreading of rumors, the lying, false witness about someone, cursing someone, whatever it might be, just even speaking things, we know that Ephesians talks about not having any unwholesome talk come out of our mouth, that all of these things flow from a heart that wants to have power, that wants to be in control, that wants to be known, to be liked, to be important. And also, for those of us who are Mennonites, we also just don't like confrontation. And honestly, passive aggressiveness is way better. Am I right? That's a way better way to communicate what's going on. And yet, to overcome this, to heal broken relationships, to come together as a community, to draw people in, is to make the commitment to be honest and to love someone enough to always go to them first before we talk about them. Verse 9, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it the tongue we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. And this for James is really important. That within us as people, in the same day, I can pray and I can say God is good and I can say all these true and right things, and a few hours later I can be talking about someone or something that I actually have no business talking about. And I can be sowing seeds of doubt and disunity, dissension, and begin to corrupt people's idea about certain people. And this happens all the time. It's not just a church problem, it's a world problem. I remember when I was working at in the North End, there was some stuff going on regarding the Muslim world. And we did this program where we cleaned up garbage on the street every Saturday. And on one of those Saturdays, someone from our church, after hearing the news and allowing themselves to be filled with what they just decided was obviously true because it's on the news or it's on the internet, so therefore we all know, right? We follow it as blindly as anyone else. And he then walked past the mosque in our community and dumped every trash bag out. That morning, we had all prayed together to be filled with love for the community, worshiping God. And literally 2 hours later, cursing a whole people group and dumping garbage. Now, thankfully, I had spent, other than Christianity, you might not like to know this, I guess, but other than the Bible, Islam is the religion I've studied more than any other religion. And so I immediately went to the mosque. And the imam, the leader of the mosque, and I began a dialogue that went on until he moved to another mosque. And it turned into something really good where words could be used to bless and encourage one another, and where we could apologize for that behavior. But as Christians, and this is talking about us as believers, that it shouldn't be so among us to bless God out of one side of our mouth and then to run people down out of the other. If we truly recognize our position in Jesus, we know that we have purely and only been saved by His grace. Not a work we did saved us. Then we know that that is available for anybody. And everybody made in the image and likeness of God deserves to be spoken of well, deserves to be spoken of honestly, and deserves to know and address the things being spoken about them. From the same mouth come blessing, verse 10, blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? The answer is no. Can a fig tree bear olives or grapevine produce figs? Again, the answer is no. Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. So what's James saying? The closer that we draw to God, the more that we pursue Christ, the more that we invite Him in to change our life, the less we can produce this sort of thing that is counter to Him. That from our hearts, life and blessing and encouragement will flow for other people. That we will be people who look at our brothers and sisters, and when we hear something about them, we will not participate in joining the rumor mill. And that we will have enough love and respect and honor for the people around us to say, I will go to that person and make sure that it's true or false if it's necessary. And so I want you, in closing, just to imagine with me. Imagine a church. Imagine a community where there was zero gossip. Imagine a church, imagine a community where you never heard anything untrue about yourself again. Imagine a church and imagine a community where you never again said something about someone that you didn't know was true and that you knew it was okay to share. What does that look like? What would that do for your church, for your love for one another, your trust for one another, and for the outside, unbelieving world to experience and see? Let's just pretend that every new building that gets built in the new development has an unbeliever in them. What would it do for them when they came into this community they never once experienced people talking about them before they talked to them? It's challenging. But for me, when I think about that, that is a community that anyone wants to be a part of. That's a church that people will say, I would be interested in learning more about that group of people. That would be a group of people that would feel so welcomed and loved to know that people were coming to them, learning about them from them, and not sharing all of their stuff with other people. Imagine what that does for a church and the life that is there. To me, that's a beautiful picture, and I think the standard that God calls us to is to be a group of people that love one another so much that we would never talk about someone until we've talked to that someone. And we would never share something with someone if it hadn't been okayed by the person that we're talking about. And again, just so you know, to go back to verse 1, not many of you should become teachers, because you know that we will be judged with greater strictness. Right, so the teacher, today it's me. It starts with me. I am as guilty as anyone of talking about people and sharing stories, about hearing something in a coffee shop and proclaiming it to the world as though it's true. And so for me, it's a challenge to say no. Even though it might be uncomfortable, I want to live in a world that I dream of, and that world is one where people would never talk about me, they would talk to me. And that the words that would come out of my mouth would be words that bless and honor and encourage and lift up the people around me, rather than potentially causing destruction and causing people to doubt and question those people around me. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share. Cody is going to lead us